2. We're joined live this morning by U.S. Senator-elect Tim Kaine of Virginia. And Senator, glad to have you with us this morning. You were governor of Virginia at the time of the terrible tragedy at Virginia Tech. And I guess as we begin our conversation this morning, I am sure your mind rushed back to that moment when you first heard about what had gone down in Newtown, Connecticut.
It definitely did. I was actually in Southwest Virginia Friday through Monday, very close to Blacksburg. And so when the incident occurred, the tragedy, we were, you know, all following it very, very closely. And you couldn't help but think about the horrible day in Blacksburg and all the families who lost loved ones in April of 2007.
Well, we're hearing today that Vice President Biden is leading that new initiative to tackle the issue of gun violence. You did unfortunately go through something like this when you were governor of Virginia. If you were on that panel, what would your advice be? While you were governor, you tried to make it harder for people with mental difficulties to get weapons. And now the talk is about the mental health system. Is that the direction you'd go? You are in a very gun-friendly state.
Well, you know, but there is a Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment also needs to be paired with reasonable and common sense restrictions and regulations, just like other constitutional rights. In the aftermath of the shooting in Virginia Tech, we made some changes to Virginia laws and procedures to make it more difficult for people who had adjudicated mental illnesses and were dangerous. We made it more difficult for them to get weapons. I tried to do something that I think definitely needs to be done nationally, which is have background record checks at gun shows. Right now, it's unlawful for a felon or somebody with a dangerous mental illness or somebody under a domestic violence protective order to get a weapon. That is illegal, but we let people walk into gun shows and buy weapons without record checks, which just opens the floodgates so that people can get guns illegally. I think common sense rules like closing the gun show loophole, looking at these high-capacity magazines and assault weapons, Virginians overwhelmingly support it, even though the NRA is located in Virginia. Virginians overwhelmingly support these restrictions, and they've supported me as a candidate when I've talked openly about the need for common sense regulations.
You know, weapons were the tool used by people in many cases in these events who are mentally troubled. The problem of mental illness in America, we don't seem to be making very much progress in dealing with it. It's still one of those hided kind of things. How do we change that?
Well, it is a multiple pronged approach that we have to take. It's common sense rules about gun ownership and use. It is appropriate mental health systems and funding. And it's also smart attention to campus and school security. Virginia Tech and many campuses made significant security upgrades and changes in the aftermath of the shooting so that the colleges would be safer. And we need to look at schools and ask ourselves in the same way whether we're doing what we can about security. But you're right, mental illness is a very key portion of this. In the facts that are coming out about the murder in this case were that, you know, he had some mental or emotional disturbances, was deeply involved in a culture of violence, whether it's violent video games or surrounded by weapons that, you know, really are only created to potentially do others harm. That's just a recipe that in many instances is going to lead to events like this. I'm very disturbed that over the course of a 19-month campaign, I had to put out, you know, 4 different statements in 19 months about horrible shootings like this, praying for families and hoping for the day when we might have better policy that would avert them. We're not doing all we can to stop them, and I think we owe it to those who have been so deeply, deeply hurt, these families who have been so deeply hurt in Newtown. We owe it to them to really have a good discussion and find paths forward to reduce the likelihood of this happening again.
Well, it seems like that's the direction we're going in. We have to talk to you about the fiscal cliff. Where do you stand on all these proposals that have been flying around lately, the Plan B, tax rate increases anywhere from $250,000 to households making $1 million? Where are you on that, and where do you think we're going to end up?
Almost a year ago, you know, the Democrats were in a position where they were saying, let all the Bush tax cuts expire over 250, and the Republicans were saying make them all permanent. I basically came out and said one side is not going to walk over to the other and say you're 100% right, so we need a compromise. I have long proposed a compromise of letting the tax cuts expire over $500,000. This would produce nearly $600 billion in revenue over the next 10 years. It would significantly reduce the need for the kind of devastating cuts to defense and other priorities that could hurt the economy. So, look, I urge a compromise. I think the president has said he's open to compromise. He is currently talking about a $400,000 threshold. There's not magic about the number, but there is an urgency to make something happen. I'm hoping that Congress does that to avert these major cuts. I'm anxious to swear in on January 3rd and use the budget work I did as governor to continue to be part of a common ground caucus in the Senate to solve our fiscal problems.
You know, as much as the markets are saying the urgency of finding a deal is important to them, don't you think psychologically Americans need to see their government do something, succeed, not
yes.
fall off a cliff, get it done so they can believe in government again?
Yes. I think the 112th Congress is going to go down as one of the least effective in the history of this country. They're going to be known by filibuster, gridlock, obstruction, pledges to make the president unsuccessful, but they're not going to be known for accomplishments that are good for the American people. And so we need to, just as you said, we need to solve this problem because it will be good for the economy to get some certainty. We see some signs of economic lift, but we're still being held back. But secondly, we've got to do this to show that people in Congress who are drawn a paycheck actually can do their jobs, find agreements, and move forward. That is probably every bit as important as the economic consequences is showing that Congress can be functional again. And I'm excited to join 12 incoming senators of both parties. I hope we can bring some fresh air to it, and that the 113th Congress, my New Year's wish is that the 113th Congress will do some heavy lifting, and they'll be known for listening and compromise and results, just like the 112th has been known for.
Awesome. You can be the do-something Congress.
Let's be the do-something rather than the do-nothing Congress.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
Okay, talk to you guys soon.
U.S. Senator-elect Tim Kaine of Virginia.